Fashion Insider friends, what is up? This is the Fashion Crimes Podcast, where I cover all things fashion, style, shopping, style inspiration, and interview incredible small business owners who are changing the fashion industry for the better. Yes, I'm the best friend you never knew you needed and the poster child for fashion over 40. And I mean way after 40. Say it with me, fashion and style are your friends, not your enemies. I'm Holly Cates, your favorite personal stylist, and let's keep it real, the only Holly you need to know. Turn it up, because I got a lot to say, and I am super stoked you're here. Everyone, how's it going, fashion besties? Your favorite Holly and your favorite personal stylist is back today, and I hope you're tuning into the video on YouTube, because you have to see what's on my head right now. We have today a very special guest who is going to explain her millinery business to us and the relevance today of the 150th the 150th Kentucky Derby race. Today, we have Christine Moore, who is one of the most celebrated milliners in the history of American horse racing. She started her career in the world of theater as a costume designer and quickly began making hats for regional theater productions. In 1990, she moved to NYC to work for renowned milliner Rodney Gordon, where she spent 4 years making hats for opera and Broadway productions such as Phantom of the Opera and Cats. In 1994, she established Christine A. Moore Millinery, based in New York City. Now, her hats have graced many magazine covers, including In Style with Katy Perry, Vanity Fair with Jennifer Lopez, Sophisticated Living, Sense Magazine, and the Baltimore Sun, and was the first milliner to be showcased on the cover of Churchill Downs Magazine, so forth, so on, and what have you. We are so excited. Christine, welcome to the Fashion Crimes Podcast.
Holly, I'm really thrilled to be on your podcast. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh my God, of course.
Your episode.
I know. So the 150th Derby is coming up. I am so grateful that before the Derby, you have graced us with your presence. I know how busy you are, so we're going to get right to it. Please tell us the start of your career and how you got into this. I touched on a few points, but you tell me, where are you from and how'd you end up in New York?
Well, I'm a PA girl. So I studied costume design in Pennsylvania, Allentown College of St. Francis de Sales, and then Kutztown University. And my first professional job as a assistant costume designer, I met a milliner and I just fell in love with the craft. And so I did regional theater and then, you know, traveled regional theater doing hats, making hats. And then I decided that like many people in theater, you know, you want to end up in New York. So I came to New York and worked for Rodney Gordon, who did all the Broadway shows. I actually did really specialized in men's hats for Broadway shows. Now he does both. But at the time, you know, I like did all of the top hats for Phantom of the Opera, the original production, but then also all the tours. So I really learned how to make hugely structured pieces. And then I didn't know where my career would go after, you know, it would go, because I was thinking, you know, in theater, you're an artisan. You're always making the costume designer's vision. So, or five other artists coming together. It's a collaborative art. And I thought, oh, you know what? Maybe I should try fashion. So I just started selling hats on the side in Philadelphia and New York. And I mean, immediately I had a nice response. And so I thought, you know, this is what I want to do. And then the fashion clause came out in the fashion district. And I was like, oh, this is brutal. This isn't like theater where everybody's collaborative and they're helping each other. This is like, no, we don't need you here. We don't like you. And we're going to scratch your eyes out. And, you know, like, you know, and it was just really, really competitive, as you know, right? So. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, I'm so tenacious. So just hung on with a lot of moxie. So I just hung on and just like tried to learn everything. I just would go to stores and did the trade shows. But I still, because I was doing everything on a shoestring, I didn't have an advertising budget like a lot of my competition had. I was always looking for a market that nobody else was in. And so one of my employees' grandparents lived in Louisville. And she said to me, you know, I should take your hats down to Louisville over Thanksgiving and I'll show some stores, you know, your work. Because I really think that you would do really well at the Derby. And so I was like, yeah, whatever. Nobody, you know, fashion district tells me nobody wears fancy hats, you know. So I was like, okay, you try. I'll sell like, okay, whatever, three hats. So she goes down there and she goes to every store. Her grandfather takes her to every store in Louisville. And one store was like, oh, I want to buy your fall collection because it was late in the year, but they just loved what she was wearing. And they bought the collection and then said, we would love you to do Derby hats. So she saw my potential from these fall casual hats. She invited me to come down. She owned a restaurant too. She invited me to come down and speak about hats in April. And she kept saying to me, can you bring, she placed an order for spring too, but she kept saying, can you give me some like wide brim, like really fancy hats? And I was like, okay. But I'm like, I'm going to sit on these. You know, and I'm doing this on, she's buying, but I'm doing those on consignment. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I go down there and I do the speech. And then all of a sudden at the end, I hear this one woman say, because I'm talking about like the benefits of wearing hats and like for your skin and for, you know, casual, you know, to have like a snappy look, all this stuff. And then this woman said, I'm not spending that much on a casual hat. And I was like, but at the end, there was those three hats I was talking about. Those three fancy hats were behind me. And all of a sudden there was this rush for these three pink fancy hats. And I just was like, oh my gosh. And they were like, can you do special orders? Can we order this in purple and all these colors, fuchsia? And I was like, yeah, sure. Went home to New York. I only had one person, I had just one salesperson, one stitcher, and we made so many hats in 2 weeks and had them overnighted and that was the beginning of it. We sold them all out, and the next year I was like, okay, I get this cut, I get it, I get what's going on here. And then this Churchill Downs about maybe two, so Keeneland picked the collection up, and again I was still like, what are these people about? Like, I, nobody buys the top end at that time, the top end of my collection, and buys like 25 pieces. I'm like, bounce check, you know. But they sold that and more. And then about in 2008, Churchill came to somebody from the brand manager came to the store I was selling at and said, we love your look. We'd like you to help us build or solidify our brand. And I was like, wow, you know, I'd love to. You know, I was like, they noticed me. Somebody noticed me, you know, and that's really where it just kind of my relationship with Churchill started, but also my relationship with Louisville and learning the Derby Lady. And then from that, that's a go big or go home. And it opened up all of horse racing to me, but it also, and then and from there, I went into like fundraiser luncheons and more fancy hat occasions. To the point where my ball and casual collection became very small compared to all of these other wonderful creations. And I still love fall and casual hats. I'm a New Yorker, you know, now. But, you know, it was like open so much creativity that people locked onto it and weren't, you know, they'd rather spend the money on my hats, my big explosive hats, than they would want to spend on a casual one.
Now, do you go to the Derby?
So I was invited by, so I started working with Casey Ramage now, Churchill Downs, and the licensing company, she really felt like I needed to see this. And I,
right.
And it, she, in order to convince me, she just gave me tickets. So I was like, or she, the licensing company, I was their guest. Cause I had done actually had the Kentucky Derby Barbie. I had done this for them.
Oh, I love that. So wait, but hold it back up. So explain what you're holding up.
So this is the Kentucky Derby Barbie. It's from 135th running of a Kentucky Derby. So 15 years ago, I designed the hat Mattel designed the hat, this hat, but I made the real life hat and I made 135 of them.
I love it.
For Barbie. So that was the licensing connection was I made. 135 of them. Or that was the goal was 135. And you know, so you saw that year, 2009, you saw these women at Churchill in the Barbie hat.
and the Barbie hat. So let me ask you a few questions. Okay. So I know you're so overwhelmed. I know there's a lot to talk about, but I want you to, when you said something that you really understood the Derby Lady, can you talk about that? Who is the Derby Lady?
The Derby Lady wants to be noticed. And of course, to answer your question about how many, I've gone ever since 2009 to the Derby. I
haven't okay. missed,
so that would be 15 years. And they teach me so much. And one of the things is they want to be noticed. They want it. They're serious fashion. They want to be elegant. They want to, turn heads, be photographed. They want to be admired. They want to be the A+ in their group. Yeah, they want go big or go home. You know, and I always say at Churchill Downs, you buy your hat in a store. Churchill Downs has no walls, blown out. So, you know, there's always someone that's going to have a bigger hat than you. Definitely. But I definitely think one of the things is it's true head to toe fashion. We've helped build this way, is that it's mostly serious, elegant fashion.
So talk to me about the hat that I'm wearing. Okay. Tell me the style. Tell me the inspiration behind it. You know, I'm modeling it for those of you who are listening just to the audio, not looking at the video. Can you explain it?
Well, it definitely would just be a picture hat or a day hat, right? That technically. What I have done is it's definitely Christina Amore millinery style with the sheer. And what I realized is that first Derby was that straw and even felt like it doesn't come that wide, but these women want wide, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, how do I do this? So I have to do some sort of extension. And because the way straw is made, you know, it's like just a lump of straw and you block it into the shape. It's still only, even if I cut it off, like I still can't add to it. So how do you add to it? I added sheer. So the horsehair is nylon horsehair is what's on the edge of it. It can, you know, it could be any size. Like I could make a double layer and it would be like, you know, right now that's 8 inches wide. You look so fabulous in that.
You really do. I feel fabulous in this. I love it.
The angle. But so I could do like, that's 8 inches, but I could do, you know, I could do 12, you know, I could just
keep. This is 8 inches from the original brim, which is here to here. That's what you're saying is 8 inches, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the flower, do you design that or?
That's my style. Like, that's why I stand out from every other hat designer. I mean, first of all, you got to know it's artwork. So it's
right.
So I have my own style that is to create the trim, whether it's a bow, like this is, I can show you here, like the bow, this is a flower too, but like
okay.
It's bow. We are my staff and I do have a staff that I want to give them a shout out for sure. I couldn't do this alone. But so these are all patterned out from flat fabric and then molded together to make the flower. And then in some cases, we'll paint into the flower.
Okay, fashion besties, you got to watch the correlating video with this because she is showing some of the most gorgeous hats. These have right. feathers. So are those feathers on top? Are those plumes?
These are coke feathers. I tend not to, like, whatever other designers are doing, my inspiration is clothing. So I look at what, like, the designers are doing and the treatments they're doing on their clothing and the colors, but not other hat designers. So what I do, what I do notice is what they're doing, I try not to do, so I'm very unique. A lot of designers use a ton of feathers. I just want them as accents.
I see.
So they're with the... Yeah. And then French net, you know, so I want to do something. Carol, could you bring me a loop, something with loops?
Christine, so you're wearing a fascinator. So explain to us the difference. For those of you who don't know what a fascinator is, explain to us what that is.
I think this is a special word, so it won't fit on my head. But but you see these loops, I use those for height instead of just feathers.
I see.
Okay. So, but to answer your question about a fascinator. Okay. So. A fascinator, originally, technically, thank you, Carol, is feathers on a headband or comb. That okay. is what, and it came from Ireland.
Oh.
So their style, yeah. And then it kind of grew into mean anything, any of a trim, basically, focused on your head.
I gotcha. So,
more things. Like, but then there's the Hatinator that's like this one.
Oh, a Hatinator. Look at that.
Which sits like a fascinator, but has a size.
That's fabulous.
It frames my face more.
So what she's wearing now is a purple trim, white netted fabric, molded fabric hat, which is flat on top, and it's got zhuzh and flowers and ribbon on the top, but it's also with like a headband, but it's stretchy. So it has It has an elastic band.
So you could have a fascinator that is the headband, or you could have, you know, elastic. For elastic, it stays, to me, it stays still better. And then it doesn't give you a headache because eventually the headband pinches your head. And then
that is fabulous.
If it's too weighty, what do I say? It's too small. Like that wouldn't put a comb in this one. It just stays. I'm saying this wrong. If it's lighter weight.
I understand what you're saying. Okay. So let's move on. So gorgeous styles that you have. So tell us, what are the price points on some of these? Like, can we talk about how much this hat is, what I'm wearing?
I think that one is $11.50.
And the Hatinator, how much is the Hatinator?
This one, I think, is really expensive because of all this work in here.
Gorgeous.
So this one is probably about the same, about 11. This little one is 300.
Okay. So the fascinators are a little bit less because obviously it's less labor intensive. So let's talk about, so to style one of these hats. So let's just say I'm going to the Derby. This is the hat that I pick. What do you envision? Do you give style advice to your customers? Do you say, I hope you're wearing this kind of dress? Is it kind of free for all? People do, you know, does everyone wear a dress? Tell us what people wear.
Okay. You can wear, everybody dresses because it's really, I think they're horses at this event, but it's really about the lifestyle.
Right.
But some people will wear pantsuits or jumpers. If you're having a derby party at home, you know, you're going to Sofa Downs for the derby. I recommend, I mean, that's fine to have a jumper. I would think at Churchill Downs, everybody I know has worn a jumper has wished they had not. But anyway, most people have wear dresses. Women come to me usually with their dress, and I think that's the smartest way to do it.
Oh, I see. Okay, so they go, this is the dress I want. I want to wear, help me with a hat. That's what they say.
Right. And then I kind of do fashion forensics, try to figure out what they want to look like, what they want to show, convey to their audience. I can tell a lot from the dress where they're going with their fashion. And then, you know, it's hat or fascinator, and it's about 50-50 now. It was more hats earlier in the season, and I'm going to say probably the derby slide is going to be more fascinators because it's easier to travel with. So if you pre-planning, then you're going to wear a hat.
That was my next question. So if I'm coming from God knows where, and I want to bring a hat like this on the plane, how do I travel with a hat like this? Do I put it in a hat box or do I just wear it?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to check the hat box. So not the hat box, but just put it in a cardboard box and check it. I do it every trip. I take tons of hats in a cardboard box, have it go in cargo. And it comes out after TSA has looked at them and tried them all on. They're fine, you know. But that's what I recommend. People get really frightened by that. Next best thing is to ship it down to your hotel.
Right, right. And
if you can, ship it back. But I think it's way better to fight with the airline one way than two. And you'd say, well, okay, it's a novelty and the airline, the flight attendants will probably be dazzled by your hat. But if there's a whole 50 or 100 people with a hat box, they're over it.
So the Derby itself is, I know there's a lot of before parties and I know there's a lot of after parties. Do you wear, if the party is before, you wear the outfit all day, right?
That is a really good question. So I don't think that you should wear your hat to dinner. I don't think that.
I see.
But sometimes you have to because you're going right to dinner.
Right.
I mean, it's not a big faux pas. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's what you're going to do. But I would say if you have a chance to change, I would change into a fascinator or just take your hat off for the evening.
I gotcha.
But you see a lot of people in their hats just for that reason. They haven't gotten to their hotel room, just going to the next thing. But if you are going to take your hat off, what I would recommend, do a layer of pin curls on the top of your head to keep it like, I have had hair no matter what, but you put, do a little pin curl. Okay. And then you put your hat on. I find one. Okay. I'll just do this one again. You put your hat on. Okay. And then.
Oh, and when you take it off.
Then you kind of fluff, you take the pin.
That's good advice.
It really, honestly, it works. It works. So that's what I recommend. You know, if you're, I'll just try a new hat on now. I recommend.
So you live in the city, right? In New York City. So when you, are you walking around with a hat on all year round? Or people are like, that's Christine. I mean, is that like your jam? Is that, how many do you have personally?
I was going to say like
a ton. She's showing me her showroom.
I wear a beret every day or a fedora. You're stepping out of the camera like I do. Okay. So this is my style and I'm known for this. In New York City, I would say I drift into the crowd quite nicely. Maybe not in the pink one, but when I wear the black one.
Got it.
People, other cities and other places, people know me from my beret particularly.
After the Derby, are you working on fall right away or?
No. Okay. Well, the Derby is like the kickoff, but, and really it's, and this is to all the costume, I mean, not costume designer, all the fashion designers out there. The Derby, this is where your fashion's going. This is it. This is where your fashion's going. And it is the biggest day.
This is your Super Bowl.
For fashion. I mean, I think there are horses at this event.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. So this is the beginning of really, and I guess it used to be Easter, but now this is the beginning of like all these spring events that happen that are hat events and so it's really the kickoff. So you got the Preakness, you got the Belmont, we go right down to Nashville for the Iroquois Steeplechase, of which we're also their official, or we're featured milliner of the Kentucky Derby, official for the Iroquois. And then, which I can even talk about why I chose featured instead of official, which is the reason I chose featured is because there's so many local designers in Kentucky. And there's such a economy around the hat business in Kentucky that I felt like it wasn't fair for me to say, oh, I'm the official. Like, I'm just featured.
I see what you mean. And you did that as out of respect to the other people who are saying, well, that's very nice. That's very humbling of you because I'm sure you have a better product than they do.
I'm very competitive. I said that already.
Yes. So after, you know, the said season, I guess, is over. So then are people talking about what they're doing next year? Do you take orders? Okay. So yes, she's saying yes.
Yeah. So as soon as Derby is over, we will start getting orders for 151.
Wow. And
more so this year than ever, because there are so many people who have missed out on this year. Either it's they can't get a ticket, they didn't want the crowd. Because one of the things, the difference between this year and every, I think it's going to be huge numbers of people, you know, and very excited people.
Yes, that, of course.
But a lot of people have said, I want to go to 151 because it'll probably be a little calmer. So I'm expecting we're going to get a lot of people right after Derby.
So you have such an incredible business. We at the Fashion Crimes Podcast, we love supporting women-owned small brands. And I'm not saying you're a small brand, but I'm sure you're a very large brand. But one, you know, you're a one-woman show. Yes, you have a staff, but this is your brand. We love supporting you. How can we support you? Do we follow you online? Do you have a blog? Tell us how we can connect and engage with you.
I think one of the things is really what you said is like, my work is so much different than anybody else's. And to recognize that this is like art, just not just hats and gluing them together. Like I have a room full of costume design designers, people with degrees in costume design, they're artisans. And it's really just, these are works of art and not, yeah, just not, we don't do just wield a glue gun and throw it together.
Of course.
And I think that's the one thing, is just the understanding that millinery is, it's not an afterthought. You know, especially when you're going to a hat event like the Derby.
Of course. Of course.
It's just another thing. It's Facebook, not torso book. I'm just saying.
That is a good point. It is Facebook. So you're supposed to have your face in your hat, your fabulous hat. All I can say is I am manifesting a place where I can wear this, because I myself am not going to the Derby. But wow, I certainly wish I was with this hat.
This is happening, and it's happening more and more. Derby parties that are not at Churchill Downs, fundraisers, even people having their parties at their house. Like, the Derby party is really such an important and growing thing, because not everybody can get into Churchill Downs, or you can't, you know, it's really the hotels after a while.
Of course.
I mean, you don't want to stay in, I mean, I love Nashville, but you don't want to stay in Nashville to try. But
right.
And you can find out all about the Derby party KentuckyDerby.com too. So, you know, just even hosting one and what goes into that, they have some points and some tips, and, you know, and you could see my hats, the link, there's a link to my hats on there too. But I think the, back to your question about what would be really good. I'm sorry. What was that, Carol? She just was Tootsies?
Atlanta.
Oh, there's, you know, there's a Tootsies.
Yes.
Tootsies carries my hats in Atlanta.
Very nice. Yes, we're very familiar with Tootsies and the people who work there. Yes, we do know them very well. So good to point out, if you're in the Atlanta area, you can certainly go to Tootsies, or you can hit up Christine Moore. Is it christinemoore.com or Christine Moore Millinery?
It's actually Cam Hats, my initial plus hats. So it's CAHATS.com. My Instagram, which, follow me, please. I mean, my hats love to be looked at. And then you can see the difference in the work and understand what we do more. It's Cam Hats NYC.
So amazing.
Yeah, Cam Hats at NYC.
Is your apartment and your bathtub and your shower filled with hats everywhere? Can you even walk in your door in your apartment? I'm curious.
Okay, back to the personal thing about my hats. So I have my berets. I have a few of my all-time favorite wears. And then my husband has a gazillion hats. And they're mostly ones that I made for him, but they're
very nice.
They line the walls of our apartment, and it's all his.
Oh, it's not even yours. It's all his.
It's all his. Oh yeah. But as far as like we own a house in Pennsylvania, and that has like stacks of hat boxes. So we've been collecting these vintage hat boxes and preserving them. And that's probably the most notable, why you would walk into our house and say, I think a hat designer lives here, or hats lives here. But yeah, it's cause I can, you know what, like I can wear all kinds of hats, and I can change, like I could do, like I'm doing a meet and greet at the Derby store, Oaks and Derby, and I'll be there for opening day, where people come and they'll like show me what they're wearing, and they'll be on my Instagram. You know, we'll take photos together. So I'm become part of the entertainment at Churchill Downs, because I'm known to be at so many racetracks, and like people come up and be like, fix me, my hat's not right, you know, or whatever.
I love it.
And actually, because I have a sewing kit, I've even had to sew people in their dresses.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, it's just, I forget where I was going with that.
But look, let me tell you, you're a very creative person. You know what I mean? You got to be a little wacky. You know what I'm saying? To be able to deal, and I mean that in the most loving way. You got to be a little wacky to be able to have this crazy over the top vision to say more is more, large is better, bigger is better, because that's what people want. And they're really trusting you with their look. The same way as I'm a personal stylist, they want to know how to look the best. And we appreciate you. We love your work, what you're doing. We will 1,000% follow you on your Instagram. And it's just been so fun talking to you. And I cannot possibly get through all my questions in this little, you know, amount of time. And you look great in every hat. I mean, I have a girlfriend. She's like, ask her what hats to wear with curly hair. I said,
That's a really interesting. I saw that you said that. So curly hair people, it depends on how voluminous it is.
Right.
Say more, wear fascinator if you're going to wear it out and curly. But for the most part, the style is, and what I love, is that you pull your hair back and you show the shape of your face. Like you.
Oh, good tip.
Yeah. And then you bring it in because
it's not about your hair. It's about the hat.
It's about the hat and your face. So I always say pull your hair back and then you see the silhouette of your face.
I'm adjusting.
Yeah. And I that's what I love. So if it's super curly hair, I would say either fascinator or just pull it back. But
it does look different now that my hat is back. It does. You're right. It does look better.
Yeah, it makes you, it looks snappier and it draws you in. Hats draw you into your face anyway, into your eyes. And your story is always in your eyes, right? So that's what's so nice about pulling the hair back, because it really makes you focus on Holly, you know?
I love that. I mean, it's a completely different look. Okay, so I'm going to manifest somewhere to wear this hat, but I did get a return label, so I do have to return this hat to you. And I appreciate you letting me wear it. I'm going to do a cup. No, I don't have any derby parties. If I was in New York, probably, but we're in Atlanta now. But I do love this, and I might go visit our friends at Tootsie's and model a couple more since I just interviewed you. But when I come to New York, which is going to be very soon, I'm going to drop by your showroom. I'm going to take some pictures with you. I'm going to take some more video. And this is not the end of our friendship. I hate to tell you.
Holly, oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because I have a feeling you're a little wacky too.
I love being wacky. Yeah. I love being wacky because there's too many people who are afraid to let their inner self really shine. And if you don't let people know who you are, that's what makes you unique and interesting. Otherwise, you're just like everybody else. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what I mean? Like, I take pride in that. And so I hear you. I see you. I feel you. I get you more than anything. I totally get you. And I do want to give a shout out to Samantha, who is in charge of the PR for the Kentucky Derby. She is the one who arranged this episode. She's on this call, but she's muted and she's probably going to kill me for saying this. But thank you so much to Samantha for connecting us with Christine. We will be following, engaging, and we will be supporting you as you are a woman-owned small business that is making a difference in the fashion industry. And that's really what we love. Any final thoughts?
Well, right back at you, Holly. I'm going to do the same for you. We're going to, share stuff back and forth and, get more people to be introduced to your podcast.
I love it.
Fashion crimes. It sounds great.
I like to stop crimes in the field. I like to give tickets. I like to, say who's being offensive, but I like to do it in a nice way and say, don't do this. Let's do that instead of this. So people understand we are fashion over 40, way over 40. And I just recently turned 50 and I'm not going to be able to say that much longer because it's been a little minute since I've been 50, but we all need to evolve our style. And if we can't have a little fun and wear a hat like this, I mean, come on. And when I come to your showroom, I'm not going to leave very quickly. I'm just telling you, I'm going to be staying for a minute. Okay. And then I'm going to be modeling. I'm going to be taking video. I'm so excited that I just invited myself to your showroom, but don't be surprised when I darken your doorstep. But I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you, Samantha. Thank you to all who are involved with Kentucky Derby PR team. I will not be there just because they don't know about me yet, but I might go next year. Now that me and Samantha are best friends, she just doesn't know it yet. I might be going to the Derby and wearing a Christine Moore hat. So, Christine, have a fabulous, fashionable week. We are all brand new followers and customers, and best of luck with your sales.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's really, I always say I can sleep at the end of May.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm so grateful you even agreed to talk to me. I thought I had somebody who I asked for an interview. She goes, how about sometime early in 2025? I was like, okay, girl. I know.
Like I said, how did I get through 2020 was just talking to the press. And so thank you.
Oh, of course.
Always make time.
All right, dear. So you guys, fashion besties, follow us. Follow Christine on social media and on Facebook. Christine Moore. hat designer and milliner, I'm trying to say that right, extraordinaire. If you're watching the Derby, if you're going to a party, if you're going to be at the Derby, take some hat inventory and see what kind of hats you like. Make sure you support her. And please sign up for our newsletter if you haven't already. You can always hit me up if you have a subject that you want me to cover. Holly at Fashion Crimes Podcast. We just made a new fashion bestie, Christine.
I'm gonna write in different suggestions for
Love it. Y'all have a fabulous fashionable week. My name is Holly Cates, your favorite personal stylist, and as always, the only Holly you need to know. Talk to you later. Bye.